Hi, I'm Total Azus for CNN 10. It could be 2 months or more before stores across America are fully restocked on baby formula. That's according to Abbott Laboratories, one of the biggest formula suppliers in America. Empty shelves and deeply worried parents have become common in the U.S. this year. The nationwide shortage actually dates back to 2020, according to the Reuters news agency. Parents reportedly bought up extra supplies of formula as the COVID pandemic sank in. Since then, changes in availability, demand, and supply chain problems have affected the amount of formula for sale. But the problem got really bad starting in February. That's when Abbott Nutrition recalled huge amounts of formula after 4 babies got sick, reportedly after being fed products that were made at an Abbott plant. The company says there's no conclusive evidence that its formula caused the illnesses. But the U.S. government said Abbott didn't do enough to keep its products from getting contaminated when they were manufactured at the plant. And since February, Abbott hasn't been able to restart production there without the green light from the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. This week, the company and the U.S. government said they'd reached an agreement that may lead to the plant's reopening. That could happen in 2 weeks. It might still be a month or more before the formula it makes there actually reaches store shelves. In the meantime, some other companies like Nestle say they're flying in some baby formula made outside the United States. The government has strict limits on imports of formula. That's another part of the reason for the shortage. But the White House says it's having conversations with major manufacturers about how to get more of their products in stores. Some experts say supply chain problems, whether they're related to formula or other products, are likely to continue throughout this year. And even if issues with manufacturing, shipping and shipping containers, trucking and warehousing all get resolved, there are still problems with some of the roads and bridges that transporters use.
Business is busy. Business is very busy.
25-year-old Luke Hayden is in line to one day run the family trucking company, but also inherit a problem. A bridge that is putting the brakes on business.
It's very tight, it's very accident prone, so a fix would be huge for our industry.
Cincinnati's Brent Spence Bridge carries 10 times the trucks and twice the cars that it was designed to handle when it opened 60 years ago.
That bridge, if you really want to go to Kentucky, is going to get better.
President Biden says help will come from the bipartisan infrastructure law.
Bravo.
But 6 months after it was signed, work here has not started.
It is the poster child of what needs to be done in infrastructure in this nation.
Cincinnati officials want $2 billion federal dollars to build a new neighboring bridge. They hope to break ground next year.
It's going to be a dramatic difference. It will solve a huge part of all the congestion in this region.
The infrastructure law sets aside $40 billion to help ailing bridges. The administration points to work that has already started on 4,300 other infrastructure projects. But the White House stresses getting larger projects moving takes time, even though the clock is ticking for some 46,000 bridges in the U.S. rated as structurally deficient that drivers cross each day.
They have to be patient. There's engineering involved, there's design involved. It has to be done to make sure we do these jobs right.
When visiting Cincinnati earlier this month, President Biden became the third president to say the Brent Spence Bridge must be fixed.
It's in such poor condition that it's been labeled functionally obsolete.
Replacing the Brent Spence Bridge in Cincinnati. Do you like that? Which is critical to the region.
Regional officials insist this time there is a real sense of optimism. For Luke Hayden, he says the can should not get kicked to another generation of the family business.
It is an exercise in patience. You know, things don't happen overnight. You know, you can't build a bridge in a day.
10-second trivia. Which of these birds has the widest wingspan? Andean condor, California condor, Himalayan vulture, or trumpeter swan? On top of the perch here is the Andean condor, whose wingspan is greater than 10 feet. Several countries along South America's Andes Mountain chain are involved in conserving Andean condors. They're not an endangered species, but their numbers are believed to be decreasing. Part of the reason, as vultures, these birds are scavengers. They eat other animals that have died, and if those animals have been poisoned, that poison also becomes a threat to the condors.
Hi.
High on a hilltop in the Andes, a moment of transcendence is about to take place.
Y cuando el cóndor echa a volar,
when the condor takes flight, all of us feel like we rise with him.
This Andean condor has been bred in captivity and never flown before. Now, it's doing it with an audience to celebrate its release into the wild.
The connection with an iconic species for thousands of years has inspired man to look up at the sky and connect with the sacred.
It's the life's work of Argentinian biologist Norberto Luis Jacome.
Our mission is to conserve the Andean condor and through the condor to reconnect people with nature.
Endemic to South America, numbers of these soaring birds are plummeting across the continent. Sometimes mistaken for predators, they face threats from human activities like hunting and poisoning from toxic baits.
Many condors come down to eat their animals to fulfill their role of scavenger. They ingest lead bullets, and lead kills them.
With a wingspan of up to 10 feet, these giant birds are slow to reproduce. So Jacome and his team developed a captive breeding program at the Buenos Aires Eco Park. They take one egg from a breeding pair, which prompts the condors to produce a second egg shortly after, ensuring all the eggs aren't in one basket.
So the second egg is raised by the couple. We can get two chicks for each couple per year, when in reality, condors would have one offspring every 3 years.
After 2 months of careful monitoring, a tiny miracle. If needed, the chicks receive a helping hand to break free. Caring for newborn chicks while ensuring they don't become attached to humans requires thinking outside the box.
All the contact that the fledgling has here will be through latex puppets that represent its parents. At that moment, you are the father, you are the mother, you are responsible for that life.
Jacome says the program has raised 78 chicks and rescued and released hundreds of condors throughout South America. But an increase in poisoning has killed 150 condors in just the past 2 years.
It means that a whole effort, a lifetime of 30 years, is not enough if we do not change that relationship we have with the environment.
Here, Jacome and his team celebrates the release of the condors with the Mapuches and Tehuelches communities, who have long had reverence for this bird. As part of a traditional ceremony, the event is transformed from the scientific to the spiritual.
It opens hearts, it opens people's minds, and people quickly, in a practical way, understand why we should take care of Mother Nature.
Nothing grows on the moon, but could something grow in lunar soil? That's what scientists at the University of Florida recently tried to do in a study funded by NASA. The soil was taken from the moon's surface during the Apollo missions, and the good news is, a plant related to mustard greens did sprout within days. The bad news? It had stunted leaves and roots, a reddish color, and was generally less healthy than plants grown in earthly soil. Does it see the need for a future way to feed the astronauts who heed the space odyssey, or will it fail to take root if that route is tried? Upon a rocket lunch instead of fruit that's freeze-dried, they'll have to decide if they can it or they ban it if the lunar salad bar is lower than scientists' planet. Maybe that got off the ground, maybe it crashed and burned. Either way, we're happy you're watching. Shout out goes to Juniper Hills High School today, our viewers in Nampa, Idaho. I'm Carl Azus.